So, the first one is Matthew chapter 6, 5 to 13. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Godfather who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done and in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heading because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need to before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debts. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So the next one is Mark chapter 14, 32 to 42. They went to the place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He said to them, "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, that the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more, he went away and prayed, and same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hand of sinners. Rise, let us go in. Let's go. Here comes my betrayer."
Perfect. Okay, I should have a PowerPoint. Thank you so much. Right, as Joy said, this is the last in our series on a praying life, and we're going to be talking about praying in real life, and it's been a really powerful series. And today we're going to get a little bit more practical. We're going to talk about kind of practical things we can do to help our prayer lives on. And I really feel like today God wants to invite us into more, and he does want to challenge us a little bit. And one of the ways that the enemy likes to shut that down right from the get-go is to throw condemnation our way. So I just want to say before I begin, if you're hearing that voice in your head while I'm talking that says, "I am such a bad Christian, I am just not holy enough, I'm really not doing a good enough job," that's not from your Heavenly Father. The Holy Spirit does conviction. He never does condemnation. It's in the Bible. So, that said, shall we pray? Lord, we thank you that you're here. We thank you that you want to meet with us this morning. We thank you for your word. Lord, would you just open our hearts, would you open our ears to hear what it is you have to say to each one of us? Lord, we just give you this space and ask that you would have your way. Amen. So, there is this phrase in the Bible when it's talking about Noah, and I love it, and it says, "And Noah walked with God." And I'm like, if people say one thing about me after I die, I want it to be, "And Christy walked with God." And I think that's such a great picture of what our prayer lives should look like, is that it is a walk with God, and not like a distant kind of, you check in with each other every now and then, but like a side-by-side, kind of hand-in-hand, let's do life together kind of thing. Because the truth is, we were made to be in relationship with God. And not a distant relationship, a close relationship. That's what we're designed for. And that relationship is really, really important. And if you hear one thing today, let it be that God loves you and he wants to spend time with you. And how do I know that that relationship is important? Because one day, this guy walks up to Jesus and he says, what is the greatest commandment? What's the thing I have to do? What is the most important thing for me to do? And Jesus says, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, you're saying, love God. And the challenge for me as I've been writing this has been God saying, how much does my prayer life reflect the fact that I love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength? So, thank you, Magda. I've come up with a few points that I think can help us to look kind of practically at how we can pray and what's getting in the way of us reaching our potential, as it were. So the first one is, pray confidently, for those of you who like to take notes. I think one of the things that stops us from praying is we see someone else praying and they are really good at praying. And we're like, yeah, I'm not that good at praying. And we don't feel like we can pray. We don't feel like we're good enough at praying. We're not really sure how to pray. And so we kind of think, well, let's just leave the praying for other people. But this passage from Matthew, it's just amazing in how it just cuts through that lie. And it says, you don't need to be eloquent. You don't need to have all the right words. You don't, God already knows what you need, so you don't even need to be able to communicate to him what you need. It's not about pretending to be someone else in front of God, someone who's more holy than we are. God wants you as you are. And when we're starting to pray, I think we feel like, if it's something I should be doing, it should be really natural. Like, it should just seem very easy. But if we're honest, prayer is a little bit weird because you're talking to someone, sometimes out loud and sometimes in your head, who you can't see. And that's not really the kind of thing we do anywhere else in life. And so if you find praying a bit weird, that's fine. And actually the way you get used to it and it feels more normal is just by doing it, as with most things in life. We used to have a little neighbour at number 3 in the terrace who was, I think she must have been younger than 2 when we moved in. And she was learning to speak, obviously, and she was bilingual. So her mother was, well, still is German. She didn't know very many words, but she knew this one word, which was Billabo, which is the German for garbage truck or bin lorry. Because whenever she would see the bin lorry, she would get really, really excited, and she would be like, Billabo, Billabo. And it was very, very cute. And so this was one of her words that she knew, and she kind of realized that that was a really cute thing to do, and people paid attention to her when she said Billabo. And there were times when I would be hanging out with her when it would be all quiet, and you could see the little clogs in her brain trying to work out, how can I communicate with you? And she just didn't have the words, so she would just go, Billabo. And my heart would melt. And I wasn't offended because she wasn't speaking fluent English to me. I wasn't upset with her. I wasn't like, well, that's just not good enough, is it? I was just so happy that she wanted to talk to me. And that is just a small glimpse of what God's heart is for you. He loves you and he wants to spend time with you. And he doesn't care if you don't have the right words. And I would say prayer shouldn't be boring. Find a way that works for you. And I love to pray in silence, you know, sitting quietly, just praying in my head. And my brain just can't handle it at the moment. It's all over the place. I'm like, whoa. So find a way that works for you. I've been writing stuff down. Writing things down is a very valid way to pray. It's not less good than, you know, being in silence. So if writing things down helps you, buy a prayer journal, write stuff down. It doesn't even have to be like a proper letter, although writing letters to God can be a really helpful way for some people. It can be just a mess on a page, or maybe it's walking. If walking helps you talk to God, go for a walk and talk to God. Doing things with your hands, colouring, kind of woodwork, art stuff. Find a way to pray that helps you to connect with God, because for every single person, that's going to be different. For me, kneeling can be really, really helpful, because when I don't have the words in my head or in my heart, my body speaks for me. I would also say, pray with this can be really helpful. You don't need the words. I mean, if you don't have the words that you want to say to God, use some of his. He's given you lots and lots of prayers in here. You can pray them back at him. It's okay, Jesus did it.
It is a Bible.
It is a Bible, yes. Sorry, it's purple, and yes, it is a Bible. But also, as well, if you want to get used to listening to God's voice, because that is a huge part of what prayer is, and you're like, I just can't hear it, and you've just kind of written that off as something that other people do and you can't do because they're more holy than you. That, by the way, isn't true. Start by reading the Bible, because God's already spoken to you. What I found when I started reading the Bible was that the Spirit just started speaking to me through the words in the Bible. I was like, this is so familiar. I was like, why on earth does this feel so familiar? And I realized it's because God had been speaking to me since I was a little kid, and I just thought it was in my head. But when you get to know what God's voice sounds like, you start to tune in more. And prayer becomes easier, and listening to God becomes easier. It comes with practice. It's not something we need to be good at straight away. And really, God's after your heart. He's not after your performance. He just wants you to come to him as you are. And he just wants to spend time with you. And that will lead me on to my next point. So pray confidently. Just go for it. Oh, and also in that, a really great way to pray is to pray with other people. And again, that is a very weird, odd, awkward thing to do at first. But you only get better by doing it. And if you don't have a prayer partner or kind of a prayer triplet where you meet regularly to pray with each other, I'd really, really recommend that. Whether it's someone at work, someone at church, if you can't think of someone, speak to Joy. Sorry, Joy. But that, for me, and I know for so many people, has been something really helpful, and that's what Jesus did when he asked people to come and pray for him. Incidentally, by the way, he knew they would let him down, but he still asked them anyway. That's just a little challenge to throw in there. So pray confidently, pray with other people, find a way that works for you, and know that God loves you. Pray consistently. When you look at the way that Jesus talks about prayer in this passage, he's like, go into your own room and shut the door. 2018 speak, turn your phone off. It's very, very intentional. And I think one of the reasons sometimes we don't pray as much as maybe we'd like to is because we just don't have the time. I just don't have the time to pray. And I want to suggest that maybe it's not so much about finding the time to pray as it is about making the time to pray. Jesus modeled for us this really consistent prayer life where he prayed all the time. He would often go away and find a place to pray. And that is really important because it keeps us connected to our Father. And that's what we're made for. If we're going to walk with God, we need to be spending time with him, seeking him. It's part of loving God. You don't really love someone and say, yeah, but I don't really want to talk to you or spend any time with you. That's not how it works. And part of any relationship is spending time getting to know each other. And so are we willing to make prayer a priority? And to do so in a way that, again, works for us. So I used to spend my quiet time right before bed because that was what other people were doing. So I would try and read my Bible and I would pray, and I would have no idea what I was praying because I would just fall asleep every night. Sorry, Jesus. And that's falling asleep while you pray is okay, by the way. But God just really came and convicted me, and he said, Christy, Why are you giving me your leftovers? Because sometimes we do. We spend everything we have on other people, on serving, on doing. And we don't spend energy and brain power and emotional energy on sitting at the feet of Jesus and just being like, actually, I want to hear from you. I want to talk to you. I want to meet with you. And that is really important. That is really important. And can we be people who set aside, who are as intentional as Jesus was in our prayer life? And the way to do that I have found the most helpful, is to do that every day. Because Jesus says in his prayer, give us today our daily bread, which suggests to me that Jesus thinks we should be praying every day. And the truth is, at some point, you are going to wake up and you are not going to feel like praying. Whether you're tired, whether you're busy, whether you're ill, or whether life is just really difficult, you're not going to feel like praying. And that's not a bad thing. That's not because you've done anything wrong. That's just the way life is. And even if you really want to pray, you're just going to be like, oh. And like Jesus says, the spirit might be willing, but the body is weak. But the good news, friends, is that, take it from someone who knows, our bodies can be trained. And our bodies respond to regular activity, to rhythms, to momentum, to habits. So if we set aside the same time every single day to pray, and we say, this is Jesus' time, no matter how I feel, this is what I'm going to do, that means that God has space to move in our lives every single day. God wants to move in your life every single day. He wants to be a part of your life every single day. He wants to speak with you. He wants to meet with you. And our bodies also respond to graded exposure. So probably don't go from having no time with Jesus to spending like an hour every day, because that probably won't go so well, and then you'll just feel like you messed up. Unless God's calling to you to, and then go for it. But maybe like 2 minutes a day. It's exciting. Sorry, I get really excited about prayer. Because life is going to do this. It's going to go up and down. It's going to throw you about. And if we're not careful, we're going to go with it. And our hope and our strength and our faith and our energy is going to go with the ups and downs of life. And we're going to become victims of our circumstances. And one minute we'll feel great and the next minute we'll feel completely broken. And if we're not careful, our relationship with Jesus is going to do this as well. And we'll either only reach out to him when things are good, or we'll only reach out to him when things are bad. And prayer isn't the anchor in that situation, but prayer is our connection to the anchor in that situation. Prayer keeps us connected to the one who is everything we need, whether life is good or bad or whatever's going on. Prayer keeps us rooted in God, in his truth, in the truth of who we are, in the truth of who he's called us to be, and in the truth that he has the victory over whatever circumstances we're going through. And that's why it's so important to make prayer part of our everyday, so that we are constantly in that truth, we're walking in that truth. We need to constantly be reconnecting with God, spending time saying, I want to sit with you. So that we don't end up living lives like this. He loves it. He loves spending time with you. He really does. And you see in Jesus' prayer, he has this posture of heart that says, God, you're amazing. That says, it's all about you. It's not about me. That says, I trust you to provide for me. I need your help. It's this dependent, worshipful, amazing posture of heart. And let's be coming to that posture of heart every day. How could life change if we made prayer a priority? And let's not just come to that place every day, because that is great, but we need to keep the conversation going. Because chances are, if we have our quiet time in the morning, by lunchtime, like 100 things have gone wrong, and we've been cut off in traffic, and the kids are going nuts, and we've kind of lost that sense of peace. Extended times of prayer and times in God's presence are really important. But so are those little prayers. Those, Jesus, can you help me with this? And those, just telling God what's on your heart throughout the day. Getting into the habit of praying throughout the day. Constantly looking to him in every situation. And giving each situation to him as it arises. It's that idea of walking together. Step by step. And it keeps us tuned in with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is inside of us. But it's very, very easy to drown him out. But regular prayer, all day, every day, while we're doing things, while we're going about our lives, just being aware of God's presence. Saying, okay, God, here's where I'm at right now. What do you think? Keeps us tuned in to what God is saying. It keeps us tuned into his truth, because life is going to tell you that you are not enough. Life is going to tell you that you have to do it all on your own and somehow you're supposed to be perfect. Life is going to tell you that you have no purpose. And those things are not true. So let's keep lifting our gaze to the one who cuts all that away and just says, you have a purpose. I've made you for a reason. I love you. I'm for you. I'm stronger than anything that's going to come against you today. I want to use you to reach out to other people. When we lift our eyes to God in every situation, we're reminded of that. We can walk in that truth. When we look to him for help instead of trying to do things on our own. When we come to him and say, thank you, God, for everything that goes good in our lives. It develops this attitude of gratitude, this life of worship. When we look to God in all the tough situations and all the things we can't handle, we just say, God, can you help me with this? It develops this attitude of dependency and it just takes the pressure off. Because God didn't design you to be able to do life on your own. We're designed to be in relationship with him. And so much of the time I think we try and carry stuff on our own. And that leads me to my next point. So we've got confidently, consistently, constantly, and candidly. Give God your mess. One of the biggest things I think that separates us from God is this idea of shame. The idea of going into a room and shutting the door and just being alone with God is scary because we're scared that God might see what we're actually like. We're scared he might see those parts of us that we don't really want to admit are there. So we do different avoidance techniques and we try and keep God at arm's length. And we don't bring to him what's really on our hearts because what's really on our hearts might be quite ugly. And I know that I personally, I'm okay with bringing to God other people's situations. I'm even okay with bringing to God the things where I'm the victim. But when I'm feeling something I know I shouldn't be feeling, I slap a Bible verse on it and I say, I'm just not going to feel that. I'm not going to feel afraid. I'm not going to feel like I'm good enough. I'm not going to feel jealous. I'm not going to feel angry. I'm not going to be unforgiving. And in doing so, I pick up all of those things and I try to carry them by myself. God hasn't designed you to be able to carry those things by yourself. But I don't want to bring those things to God because they're ugly and I don't want God to see that there are places in my heart that are ugly. So I just don't. But you know, the problem with that is not only are we carrying all these things where we need God's help sometimes the most, but we're also carrying this deep sense of shame. And that's not what God wants. God died. God came down and died so that he could take your shame onto himself, so that he could defeat your shame, he could defeat your sin, he could defeat those things that you're struggling with again and again and again. But sometimes I feel like we're so ashamed that we don't actually let God take those things from us. We don't walk in that freedom because we're scared of what God's going to think of us. God loves you. And he wants to spend time with you. And not some perfect version of you. Not some unrealistic thing. Not something that you project to the world around you because you're scared they'll reject you. God wants to come into the deepest, most broken, most hurting parts of your life and bring his grace and bring his love and bring his healing and bring his help. And it might be messy, but Jesus in the garden was so messy. Anguish to the point of death is messy. God can handle your mess. And sometimes I think we're so scared to give these painful parts of our hearts to God because we're scared of the pain. God can handle your pain. But Jesus just comes and he's so honest. And he's like, God, I'm not really sure I want to do this. Is there any other way? But he comes to God as Father. And he's just so brutally honest. He can be completely himself. He can feel what he can feel. Because he knows that God can deal with his mess. And I was like, okay, God, how do you do that? How do you come to God being completely honest? How do I bring the broken and the struggling areas of me to God? Because it's hard. It's really hard. It means admitting that I can't do it on my own. It means facing the fact that maybe God might reject me. And the Bible tells us how Jesus did it. And it's in Luke, and I love it. It says, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. But it says Jesus went out as usual. Jesus could bring his mess, his sorrow, his agony to God because Jesus had been bringing everything to God every single day of his life. You look at the life of Jesus and you see just this constant prayer. Sometimes it's by himself, sometimes it comes spilling out and he shares it with the disciples. Jesus just constantly had prayer going on in his heart. And so he could come to God with the mess because he had that father relationship with him. How could Jesus pray, Abba, Father, when he was about to face the cross? How could Jesus pray, Your will be done, not mine? Because he'd prayed it locked away in his room every day. Confidently, consistently and constantly helps us to be real with God. It helps us to be in that relationship where we know. Because God wants to take your shame. And I really feel that today there are some people who God's like, there are parts of you that you've been hiding from me and I want you to give them to me, not because I'm angry with you, not because they're sinful and we need to deal with that, but just because he knows how hard it is for you and he wants to help you. And God gave everything he had to break into what was getting in the way of you and him being together. Jesus died so that he could be with you in all of your mess, in all of your unholiness, in all of your confusion and doubt and fear. Jesus died so that he could come and be with you. His spirit could be in us, even though we're a mess. He knows we're a mess. But Jesus rose again to show you that he can use your mess. He can redeem your mess. Your pain can become a platform. Your trials become testimonies that you can then speak into other people's lives. God can handle your mess. And God wants to be part of every part of our lives. God wants us to invite him in. God wants us to ask him for his help. Because we're not made to carry those things on our own. God wants to pour his blessing, his grace, his life, his peace, his purpose, his truth into you. But God very, very rarely knocks down the door. He stands and he knocks. And he says, are you going to let me in? And prayer is how we do that. Prayer is how we let God in. How we let God into relationships. How we let God into those broken areas. How we let God into fear. We bring it to him. We say, God, I need your help. I can't do this on my own. God wants to take your life and set it on fire. And I used to pray, God, will you do really big things with my life? I want to see your kingdom come in. I want to see revival happening, you know, let's go for it. But I kind of figured that that was something that God would do to me. Like one day I would just wake up and be all miraculous and hear his voice. But it doesn't actually really work like that. It's about relationship. And God does that for a reason, because relationship is sustainable. It's about God saying, here I am. I mean, it's about you saying, here I am, God. I want to seek after you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I want to live a life that's connected to you. I want to make you a priority. And that's not going to happen all at once. But it starts with a step. And so what's your step going to be? For everyone here, it's going to look different. But today, can we take that first step? Can we say, God, I want to go all in. I want you to have more of me. I want to have more of you. Can we make a commitment to, whether it's find a prayer partner, try and set alarms to keep reminding us to pray, whatever it is. Spirit, would you come? Would you speak to each of our hearts? Would you draw us in? Draw us closer? God, would you give us that step? Would you give us encouragement? Would you wrap us up in your love? And would you help us to walk closer with you every day?